message received.
Welcome to another edition of the Online Business Platinum Podcast with Jeff Smith from HireTrustMarketing.com and InfoMarketerZone.com. Happy spring to all of you. Hey, great to have you with us today. Finally getting some warmer weather, even though we're, a little bit of a blip here. We're getting a bit of a storm in the Northeast, but hey, spring is coming, lining up for summer. What's really crazy, guys, though, is we're almost... we're more than a quarter of the way through the year already. How are you guys tracking to your plan? How are you guys in terms of where you wanted to be? This is the time to ask that question. You know, we're 25% into the year. This is the time to really have a heart-to-heart with yourself and find out, are you where you want to be? And if you're not, you know, make some changes. We still have time to make changes at this point in the year. Three really powerful topics for you today. Number one, we're going to tackle the topic of procrastination. I know that a lot of you guys listening to this struggle with procrastination, with not being able to gain any momentum, gain consistent action towards your goals. You might have ideas, dreams, wishes, and plans, but as I've said many times, they're not worth anything unless you can make some progress towards realizing those things. And really the difference between successful people and people who are able to achieve what they want in life and people who are dreamers, wishers, and wanters is that ability to get out of the mode of just wishing, dreaming, and wanting and take action and take consistent action. Number two topic we're going to talk about is four types of products that you can sell online. We've been getting a lot of people over at InfoMarketerZone.com joining us, and we're happy to have them and awesome to see these people. And one of the things we're finding that these people are struggling with is they have the desire to start their own business. They have knowledge in a lot of cases. They have expertise. They may even have an existing business. But what they really want to do is they want to start a new line of income, a new stream of income, and they want to know what they can sell online. In some cases, it's pretty obvious. They have knowledge. They can package it. In other cases, it's not so obvious because they're in a market where they've maybe sold a service for many years or where they have consulted and they need they want to turn to a product. And so we're going to talk about four types of products you can sell online today. And number three, we're going to take questions as we usually do. The question of the day this time comes from George, and he hit me up via email based on one of our blog posts. And he wants to know a little bit more about how we test ad campaigns. So we're going to go into a little bit of detail about how we approach new ad campaigns, sending traffic from Facebook, for example, to a landing page and how we would actually test that campaign. All right, let's jump right into it. You know me, the whole objective of this podcast for any of you guys that are listening for the first time is to provide as much content and insight in an instructional and simple to follow way in a short period of time, 20 to 30 minutes at most. I don't know about you, but I get really tired of these podcasts that go on for an hour and a half, and there's just a lot of rambling. And yeah, sure, there's 5 or 10 minutes of golden nugget in there, but who has the time to sift through an hour or an hour and a half of material, sometimes even longer? It just drives me crazy. I don't know if it does for you. Where can you find us? Well, HireTrustMarketing.com/podcast is where you'll find all the past podcasts. You'll find us on Twitter at HireTrust. That's our Twitter handle at HireTrust. You will also find us on Snapchat. We do daily stories on Snapchat. At HireTrust is our handle there. We'd love to have you guys follow us on Snapchat. We'll follow you. And over at Facebook, you will find us at HireTrust Marketing. All right. So let's talk about procrastination. So the first point I want to make on procrastination is that, first of all, it affects everyone. And until you get into, right now, most people are in the habit of procrastinating, and it's a hard habit to break. Until you consciously go out and train yourself to break that habit, you're not going to be able to solve the problem. So it's a choice. It's a skill that can be learned. It's something you have to train yourself to do. And it takes a few weeks. It can take up to a month to break yourself of this habit. So it's not just going to happen. You've got to make a conscious effort to make it happen. So that starts for me, and we were able to sort of break the back of procrastination, or I was in my life, back when I was in my late 20s. And I just got tired of, sick and tired of being sick and tired. I just got tired of laying around and wishing and wanting and desiring things, but never being able to take action. and feeling worse and worse. It's a real death spiral. So what really kicked me into gear was when I did realize that it is a choice and that I had to train myself to get out of it. And what I did, the first thing I did was I viewed it as incredibly bad for myself, right? So you've got to start with upping the ante on how bad procrastination is. For most people, they wish they could get out of the rut of procrastination, but they haven't really upped the ante in terms of how destructive it can be on your life. And so when you don't, you know, taking action also comes with a cost, comes with a pain, right? If you take action on anything, let's say it's trying to lose weight and you want to exercise. Well, there's pain associated with exercising. And the trouble is, if you don't increase the amount of pain associated with procrastination, then it's going to win out every time because the pain, the perceived pain of exercising is just that much greater. And so you've got to understand, you've got to sit down and come to terms with yourself in terms of think of yourself 20, 30 years from now. If you allow procrastination to win the day, what is your life going to look like? And you've got to paint a pretty bleak picture of what that's going to look like. If you get stuck in a rut and you make no progress from today on, or in fact, you regress, you know, what is your health going to look like? What are your relationships going to look like? What is your mindset going to be? What's your finances going to look like? Are you going to be any further ahead? You know, you've probably, you know, you're going to end up working in a job you hate. And what's that going to do to your body? What's that doing to your stress level? What's that going to do physically, mentally to you? You've got to paint that picture and have it vivid and be able to bring that back every day for the next, you know, 3 to 4 weeks until you can beat this procrastination thing. So think of it as a disease. You know, when it becomes a habit, it'll destroy your life. And you've got to come to terms and really see that vividly and how destructive it can be for your life. All successful people I know fight procrastination, you know, against all odds until they become action oriented in their mindset. Look, nobody is born understanding that they have to take action. Now, some people learn it earlier on in life than other people. And some people learn it by necessity because they're forced into a situation where they have to be, you know, things are so bad, or they're born in a country where they have to. You know, we talk a lot about immigrant mentality. Well, that's, you know, when immigrants come to North America, they're forced into this action mindset because they have no other choice. And so they tend to be people that take a lot more action and rise up in their particular industries. And so you got to get out of that victim mentality. You got to get out of the mentality that procrastination is just, you know, it's something you want to wish away, but it's not that painful. You got to make it super, super painful. It will destroy your life. All right, there's three main reasons that people tend to procrastinate. And let me know, you know, give me some feedback over at Twitter at Higher Trust, or hit me up on Facebook and let me know which of these you resonate with the most. Number one, you don't have a big enough reason to stop procrastinating. That is, your why. You know, let's take the weight loss example again. If you need to lose 10 pounds, you know you need to lose 10 pounds, but you haven't come to terms yet with why that is. You'd like to look better, but really you haven't figured out what looking better will mean to you in your life. It might mean getting more dates. It might mean a stronger relationship. It might mean getting a raise at work because you're just that much healthier. You know, you've got to link it to some big whys that are exceptionally meaningful for you. So a lot of people procrastinate just because they haven't figured out that big why yet. So if you haven't, then you work on that part of it. Number two, people procrastinate because they feel they don't have any control. This is one of the really, really bad ones because, you know, a lot of people are just living their life running the hamster wheel and they feel that they have little to no control. You know, they have to work a job because they have to pay the bills because, you know, they have to exist. They have to send their kids to school. They have to buy groceries. It's this wheel where they feel they're just pinned and trapped. And this leads to all kinds of problems. It leads to incredible stress, even though you may not realize it. It leads to destructive behaviors to try and escape this lack of control. You know, I go back to something I learned in school, psychology experiments with animals. When they're trapped and they have no control, they tend to eat themselves. They bite off pieces of their skin. It gets that bad. They get so self-destructive when you have a lack of control and they get so stressed out that they actually will turn to highly destructive behaviors like that. And humans are no different. So you've got to understand if you're in that trapped in that victim mentality that you're not in control of your life, there's no way you're going to beat procrastination. You've got to get into a control mindset and decide that you can change things. You can change things starting right now. And at that point, you can beat procrastination and control doesn't become an issue anymore. And number three reason that people procrastinate is uncertainty. That is, they don't know what step to take next. They really don't, you know, they're confused, they're jumbled, they're emotionally undecided, they're uncertain, they have doubt. And so the best way to tackle that, obviously, is to skill up and get certain around what it is you need to do next. And that means educating and taking responsibility for training yourself up and getting role models and knowing a path forward and really just knowing a path forward sort of greater than 50% likelihood that it's going to succeed, and then have the faith and take steps and know that you'll find your way. All right. So if you can blast through those reasons that procrastination take hold, then you're going to free yourself. And then it just becomes sort of a matter of taking action every day and making it happen until it becomes a habit. And it will become a habit. In 3 to 4 weeks, if you can take action every day towards making procrastination, you know, a big enough why, and convince yourself that you're going to take control and eliminate the uncertainty, it will become a habit for you over the next 3 to 4 weeks, and then the effort is much less and it becomes a normal way of life. And that's what we've been able to achieve now. That's why we get so much stuff done, and procrastination is really not a problem in most cases. Now, we certainly still hit points where we become confused. We hit points where we become maybe less certain, but we know how. We always know how to combat that now by going back and getting certain, or reinforcing the fact that we have control, or maybe resetting the why, because that changes over your lifetime as well, right? So as long as you know how to get out of those situations, you don't get stuck in these long, protracted periods of procrastination. So some other tips on how to stop it. Focus each day on how disastrous it will be to your life if you continue down this path of procrastination. You've got to focus it. Focus vividly. Get the images in your head. Get the movie playing in your head. Make it your enemy. Make the cost so high that you can't help but do something to defeat procrastination. Another technique to use, take back control by just taking the first step, no matter what, right? When you take action, it gives you control and it empowers you. We use the 30-second rule when we're stuck in this sort of indecision phase or doubt phase. We just analyze something for up to 30 seconds. We set a clock, set a timer. We don't allow ourselves to think on something any more than 30 seconds, and then we take a first step. And that first step empowers you, gives you control, and allows you to take the second and third and fourth. It gets you rolling. The worst possible thing is to think on something too long, leave it too long, don't take any action, and the seeds of procrastination are set. Number three tip, build knowledge and skill each day. Build time into your day to learn and improve on those areas where you don't want to procrastinate. Right, so this completely feeds into the eliminating uncertainty and doubt factor. If you build your knowledge and you build your contacts and your network around it, you will become more certain, and that will give you confidence, that will give you control, that will give you more why, and it will reinforce the whole thing and make you more action-oriented. Now, most of all, take 3 or 4 weeks and do this constantly. Don't just do it for a couple of days and then revert back to old habits. Commit to this for at least 3 to 4 weeks consistently every day until it becomes a new mindset for you, until it becomes a new lifestyle change, and you will be amazed at the difference this will make in your life, okay? So if you guys have any other questions on procrastination or how to get unstuck, how to move ahead with your wishes, dreams, and wants, leave a comment on the blog. You will see it at hirertrustmarketing.com. This podcast will be posted there. You can leave us always comments on Twitter at HireTrust or on Facebook at HireTrustMarketing. All right, our second topic today is some guidance on products that you can sell online. So we're going to go through four categories of products. And again, we could probably dig into these more in subsequent podcasts, but I wanted to outline them for you just to give you the options today so you know some choices that you have. You know, if you're somebody that's out there today that has the desire, the experience, the knowledge, a desire to start a business online, but you really haven't been able to take that next step and understand, how do I monetize it? What do I sell? What do I sell to this market? Will they buy from me? Well, this is for you, right? And we're going to go through these four categories pretty quickly. So number one is affiliate products, and that it's a broad category of reselling other people's products through a special link where you get compensated anywhere from a few percentage points up to 50, 60% on some types of products. And this is where you, you know, you basically create a marketplace for yourself and you create an audience and you pass products through you towards that audience. And those products could be anything from things like technology products. It could be Amazon products. It could be information products like eBooks or training programs. It could be seminars, you know, any type of product really. Let's say you started a yoga website and you can start to affiliate and sell yoga mats through either wholesale or retailers like Amazon. Right? So lots of options for affiliate products. Now, the good part of affiliate products is you can get started really quick. You know, most affiliate programs are free to join. You go in, they have to accept you. It might take you a day or so to get accepted. And they give you your link and you can start promoting the products right away. The maybe not so good side of affiliate products is you're not really, you're doing the most expensive part of the selling for those types of products. Everyone in business realizes that the most expensive part of doing business is acquiring a customer. And when you're affiliate marketing, you're acquiring the customer, but you're not getting the full profit on that. So you're making a few percentage points, you're making maybe even 40, 50%. You're still not building your brand, you're not building the relationship with the client, and you're not necessarily getting the most profit on that sale. And so it's a good product strategy for starting out and learning about markets and starting to seed some income and learning what sells. It's also good just as an adjunct to other types of models that we're going to talk about. And certainly it can make you some decent money, but it's probably not the primary product monetization method you want to use long term for the reasons that I said. You just don't control the products. You're not building your brand. It's not your name on the product at the end of the day. You don't control the entire process and you're not making, the majority of the profit on that. Number two, type of product where you can sell a service. And what do I mean by service? Well, there's tons of services. You could be a web designer. You could be a virtual assistant. You could be a life coach. You could be in consulting. You could be a performance coach. You could be a personal trainer. And really then your internet marketing efforts are really to sell that service. And that service could be offline, it could be performed in your local market, or that service could be done online where you're doing it digitally, and then you can use sites like Freelancer and Odesk and you know, basically front-end systems to be able to feed you clients for your particular type of service. So comment on this. Obviously, this is a good one. It's a quick way to make money if you already have an ability or skill in this area. If it's something you enjoy doing and something you do very well, you can niche this up and you can do extremely well at providing services online. The challenge is that if you use this as your only method, you don't have a whole lot of leverage, right? You're exchanging time for money, and that sort of caps how big you can get. Now you can expand to a service enterprise. That's a real challenge, right? To find other people that are as ethical, as good, that provide the quality and provide the dedication to the business that you do, that's extremely tough. So it's a business, again, that you may want to augment with one of these other methods. Number three method is knowledge products or information products, training products, call it what you like. It's a multiple $100 billion+ market segment, where you can sell anything from eBooks to reports to physical books to online video training programs, membership sites, you name it, webinars, seminars. Extremely lucrative market, very high profit margin. Very good in terms of it helps you brand yourself because your name's on the product. So it brands you as an expert and sort of raises you up in the marketplace very quickly in terms of your name and of your value and perceived value in the marketplace. It's also has an unlimited ceiling. You can create back-end products, front-end products, and continually build out an ecosystem of products into given markets. And so this is the one that I urge you to lead with. It's the one that we teach the most and that back-ends the vast majority of our businesses. We teach about it over at infomarketerzone.com. We have a 6-week fast start program to get from idea to product launch within 6 weeks. It's been highly successful. A lot of people have spawned their information product businesses this way that have turned into six and seven figure businesses. So this is a great way to sort of seed your market and to make as your primary product strategy, and then backfill with maybe services or affiliate products. The fourth one we're going to talk about, and just quickly, is advertising and eyeballs. So the other model, of course, is to sell your eyeballs. So you get a big audience and you sell advertising on your blogs, you sell advertising on top of your social networks, YouTube advertising, etc. This one's a real challenge to try and build big these days, because a lot of the big names companies tend to dominate in the space, but it's certainly a product that you can sell, and it's a way to make some quick money, and you can build it over time. All right, so those are the four product types. If you have questions on that, hit me up again at HireTrust or leave a comment over at the blog. We're going to dig into some of these in a little more detail in upcoming episodes. Let's get to number three, because we're getting short on time. The question of the day came from George based on one of our blog posts where we talked a little bit about using different methods of sending traffic to sites, and we mentioned paid advertising, sending it to a traffic sales funnel. So let's set the stage here. His example is having a landing page with what he calls a tripwire product, which is really just it's a product designed to be very low end, something in the sort of $7 to $27 mark range, that allows someone to make a quick buy decision as they come to your landing page, and designed also to feed them into your sales funnel and sell them back, sell them and upsell them higher end products later on. And so the scenario here is he wants to create a Facebook campaign that sends traffic to a landing page, which then has this tripwire product on it that's going to sell for $27. And then he has an upsell during that $27 purchase to a back end membership site for $197 that does additional training and information on that topic. And so he wants to know, how much money do you typically spend on testing something like this? And, his suggestion is somewhere in the neighborhood of $400 to $500. And my comment on this was that we never spend that kind of money on testing. We spend typically anywhere from $50 to $100 to test a particular campaign. So let's run through some numbers here and stay with me. So like I said, we typically invest in increments of $50 to $100 to test a specific campaign. So in this case, assume a cost of $1, 46, let's assume 40 cents per click, 40 to 50 cents per click on a Facebook campaign, and assume a cost of $1 per lead, meaning that we're going to, it's going to be somewhere around a 40% conversion rate on clicks to leads. And a lead really meaning that, we're going to get somebody clicking through to our page and they're going to sign up and subscribe. And then of those, we're going to assume that there's a 40% conversion on the landing page. So what that means is if I spend $80, at 40 cents a click, that's going to get me 200 clicks. And that should get me about 80 leads. Out of which I would like to convert at least 2 to 3 on the front end, which results in about a break even for those of you doing the math, right? Because I've spent $80, it's a $27 front end product, and if I get 3 sales, that gives me just over $80, and that's a break even on my Facebook ad campaign. But remember, I've got 80 leads, right, that I've added to my list. Now, even if I sold 2. I would be happy with that because I haven't quite broken even, but I've got 80 leads, and I know that out of those 80 leads, I'm going to convert some of those in the future to other offers, right? Now, it's pretty obvious if I get 0, then I'm going to stop that campaign before I even get to $100. I'm going to stop at 80. I've gotten enough clicks and I've gotten enough leads that I know that this campaign's not working. So I'm going to stop it and I'm going to tweak some things and then I'm going to restart it. So I might tweak, in this case, if I'm not getting the clicks, then I got to tweak my ad. If I'm getting clicks, but I'm not getting conversions, then I've got to tweak a combination of my ad and my landing page, right? But in every case, I know that I don't have to spend $100 to test this, and I'm going to tweak it, and then I'm going to go and spend another maybe $30, $40, $50 to see if the results have changed any, right? And so what you will do is typically you do this 2 or 3 times at the most. And you'll start to find, okay, I get a sale here, I get a sale there. And then you do a little bit more tweaking. You get two or three, excuse me, until you get to a campaign that is actually successful. So there's no way you should be spending or losing $400 to $500 on a campaign testing something like this. At most, you should be spending $100, and often you can get away with $50 to $60 to test a campaign like this. Okay, all right. So, the fact I'm losing my voice should mean we're towards the end of our 25 to 30 minutes. Really appreciate you guys listening today. Hope this was valuable content. We had a lot of content for you today, and this was powerful stuff. Hope it's been something you can apply to your business. Please use this information as you would any other information. Take something out of here and apply it to your business. Use it. Don't just listen and be inspired. Although that's powerful, it's far more powerful if you can take something from this and apply it to your business. You know, go and try a Facebook ad against one of your businesses. Go and try and beat procrastination for a week or two and become a more active person. Go and try coming up with a new product strategy, you know, based on what we talked about today, and put together a real quick information product for yourself, you know, an 8-page report, and put it up and start selling it for $7 or $17, or even just give it away to get a sense for how popular that title will be, and then you can turn it into a more robust product down the road. Okay, lots of actionable information here. So I appreciate you guys joining. Always, as always, want to hear your feedback. Head over to the blog. It's at hiretrustmarketing.com. You can listen to past issues of podcasts. We're going to have some guests in upcoming episodes as well, so we look forward to that. I want you guys to tune in. Some really exciting stuff. And if you get tired of listening to me, you can listen to those guests. All right. Really appreciate you following today. Hope to hear from you guys on Twitter, on Snapchat, on Facebook. That's where we are, and that's where we will continue to be and offer all of the tips, techniques, and strategies to help you build your business. Until next time, it's Jeff Smith from HireTrustMarketing.com. See you later.